Hey, and welcome back to TTLG. Through the Looking Glass, the full crew is here. Georgie and I were chatting with you a few days ago about validator fees. When we were having that conversation, Ryan was fishing for, and I'll give you one guess what the fish was that he's fishing for. One guess. No,
It
but
may have been some Instagram
yeah, that's
videos
right. That's
with
right.
hints.
No, but Ryan, how was the trip, man? Good?
Awesome, man. Yeah, good trip. Excited to be back, back with the crew. So I know you guys were talking about this validator economics, and I was actually listening to you guys on the plane on the way back. And
And
yeah, Gorgie.
you have notes. I know you do. I know you have
Yeah.
notes.
Gorgie crushed it. Yeah, he was on a roll outside in Boston, so super cool.
Yeah, for
Yeah, you
sure.
have to work with the location wherever you are.
Oh yeah.
Tuning. Yeah.
Man, this is the new paradigm, right? Like work from wherever. But
Yeah.
anyway, welcome to this show. We're actually gonna extend on thematically a little bit on the last episode. We just offline, we were having just a chat with the crew here, and Ryan, you were surfacing some really interesting and salient points, timely points, and so wanted to get this just on record and chat a little bit about some of your thoughts around validator economics. Before we hop in quickly, everybody please remember that anything on this channel, this episode, or anything associated with TTLG is for information and entertainment purposes only. Do your own research, and that's it, full stop. So with that, Ryan, do you want to get us maybe kicked off a little bit about just on the conversation, kind of validator economics too? Maybe start with kind of like general kind of ideas about the way that the validator economics have kind of shaken out in Luna.
Yeah.
And then maybe a few words on some of the proposals and kind of how you were thinking about it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as I was listening to you guys on the previous episode, it just made me think about this. I don't know why I haven't thought about it before, but as far as like minimum commission rates and maximum commission rates for validators, it's a free market. You should be able to pick whatever you want, right? But in terms of maybe the maximum daily commission rate change, that could be something that could help deter some validators from having these crazy, 20% commission rates. So I was just thinking if there was a basically dynamic maximum daily commission rate change. So, for instance, just kind of spitballing here, if your validator commission rate is anywhere from 0 to 5%, your maximum daily commission rate change would be 1%. And let's say you're anywhere from 5 to 10% on your validator commission, the maximum daily rate change would be 0.5%. And then say you're 10 to 20%, you're looking at 0.2% daily rate change. And I think something like this is definitely beneficial because let's say that you're staked with King Super, for instance, 20% commission rate. For them to come back down from 20 to 10, it's going to take them 50 days just to get to 10%. So, that kind of tells people, hey, if I want to stake with King Super, that's cool, but I know that it's going to take 50 days if they even want to lower their commission to get back to 20, or sorry, 10. And same and vice versa, going up, it would be the same rate. And you would actually have time to react if you're a delegator with one of these validators. So that's just something I was thinking about, because I don't think there should be, let's say, a minimum commission rate. If you want to have zero, I kind of hate the 0% commission guys, but it is what it is, right? If you want to operate for free, I mean, maybe you should be able to do that. That's just kind of my perspective. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, the thing I like about it is that I don't know. I guess let me start by just saying the thing that's very interesting about validators right now in proof of stake networks, right, is that I think the jury's still very much out on what competitive advantage really looks like and how that's expressed to the marketplace, you know, in these ecosystems. So like, we can all agree that persistence matters. We can all agree that consistency matters. We can all agree that like even longevity, the amount of time that you've been, you know, staked on one of these networks matters. But what is very unclear is like, what is the, cause like, what's the relationship, right? I own an asset and I want to put that asset with, I want to, you know, stake my asset into this validator. What am I getting in return? Like, what is that value that I'm getting? And we're seeing some companies say, oh, it's, you know, analytics, which makes sense. Some companies are saying, you know, what was it? Coin Hall, on Luna Classic was saying, you know, you get, an extra viewpoint on, you know, just information generally about Luna. Some people do newsletters. Some people do, you know, whatever the case may be. So like that, the jury's still out there. The interesting thing about 0% is like, I could imagine a company, let's say an investment firm, right? Offering 0% as like a perk, as like an additional perk to like run capital with the investment firm, right? So I could see that happening, and I understand maybe why that may be the case. What's very unclear to me is why, and I think this is just due to the nascency of like the market, and the market fundamentals kind of haven't hashed out really what's important. But what's very unclear to me is why people put up with that shit when it goes from like 0 to 20, and it's just like, I mean, it completely erodes your credibility, and just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But I just don't think that the marketplace is old enough for those companies to like truly be punished by the market yet. Right. That's why I really like your idea of waiting, where it's just like, hey, you may have a reason to charge 20%, right? But it makes it easy to get there and hard to come down. And I think I think it's a great penalty for charging 20%, because here's the deal, like that's an outlier, right? And so like, what's the penalty for 0? Well, you eat all the costs. Well, what's the penalty for 20? It should be that it's an incredibly,
takes forever to get there.
Yeah. Long road to bring it down. Yeah. To adjust to that. So anyway, those are my viewpoints. What do you think, Georgi?
So we saw, first of all, that the 5% and the 10% failed, right? And
you're referencing the governance proposals.
The government proposals for minimum commission on Terra 2, and setting a fixed minimum commission was, we kind of went over. And initially, I was very surprised that there's such pushback. But then as you dig deeper, you understand that economics that you guys are talking about. And I think maybe a variable minimum commission is the solution, but even that has trouble. But I really like Ryan's idea. Really, really like it, Ryan. I think it's a brilliant idea. It's not so much, you know, which way the door swings, but you have the delay mechanism. It's called, it's from physics, the piston that creates, basically works against rapid change of direction. It doesn't matter.
So a counterweight, a counterforce?
No. It's what you have on the doors that prevents them from slamming, mm-hmm. in either direction. Mm-hmm. That's basically says the rate of change has to slow down. If you try to speed up the door in either direction, either open it too rapidly or close it too rapidly, it can't happen. So that's what you're proposing here, a mechanism, not in terms of minimum or maximum commission. The maximum commission could be set. I think that's fine. But the minimum is always so tricky. But you're proposing a mechanism that slows down any change in commission.
Right.
So you have to be deliberate. And it ensures then transparency and people having time to see the direction in which you're going, mm-hmm. and having time to be alerted, and the community to alert people who are not paying attention, right? They just parked their money and forgot about it, parked their assets and forgot about it. So from that perspective, I think it's a brilliant idea. And we were discussing whether it would require a significant code update. Unlikely, because it will be on the same complexity level as an algorithmically changing the minimum commission rate. Mm-hmm. A lot of the maximum commission and the minimum commission are kind of hard-coded into the creation of the validator. So there is a code change that has to happen, mm-hmm. but I think it's feasible, and I think it should be a legitimate proposal that creates this algorithmic rate of change of commission, maximum rate of daily rate of change of commission, that slows down any of these drastic things and makes really illuminates whenever somebody is trying to play a game and not be transparent. I think it's brilliant.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just something interesting to think about. And yeah, to your point, we're not really sure if that would require like a code change within Terra that's even possible, right? Since the maximum commission rates are hard coded in there and they cannot be changed. So as far as a maximum daily variable change, we're not sure if that would be able to be coded. So obviously some Terra devs would be able to probably help answer that question, but it's just something to think about. Obviously it's not a perfect solution. It was just something that crossed my mind that I thought, hey, this would be probably a little more feasible and kind of deter people from staking with the 20%ers, because it's going to take them forever to come back down if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. So, well,
you know, the other thing that I'd point out about this is, like, I think there's an astonishing, like, low level of concentration around, like, what a validator as a business actually is. And, like, I mean, you know, this is no secret. We're validating, you know, across a couple of platforms. And, like, I think the thing that's very interesting about this, which, by the way, if you're watching this and you stake with us, reach out. We'd love to hear from you. You know, open conversation here.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
We're thinking very, very deeply about, like, you know, how you ensure that you add value to, you know, folks that are staking with you. Obviously, we're community driven. We've been doing this, the content aspect, for a while. We hope to be, you know, providing insight and just, you know, thoughts that help to kind of propel the Luna community still, even, you know, with all the shenanigans that have gone on. And more generally, just, you know, crypto. But still, it's like, if we are, like, proof of work, you buy the miner, you plug it in, like, it's straightforward. And if people want to invest in that business, they invest in that business. There's a cash flow that can be calculated. They exist on your cap table. Makes sense. Proof of stake, it's just so interesting because, again, what is the value that you drive for stakers other than, you know, a percentage return? And so, like, the group that figures that out, and again, we're working hard to make sure that we continue to up our game, as I'm sure a lot of validators are. But, you know, mm-hmm. the group that kind of, like, the next level, I think, will be unlocked as you know, we kind of push towards what that means to run, you know, a validator as a core business, such that the services aren't commoditized. Because the truth is like, running a validator, it's like, you need to be ranked on longevity, right? Consistency, right? Like, the things that, like, match to, you know, to or the things that are necessary to create
missed blocks,
yeah,
things like,
yeah,
that.
Totally. And so it makes sense to be ranked on that, but then it's like, why else? What else is the value that the stakers are you know, getting out of this? And I think that, like, that door is still open, which is actually really exciting, because I think there's a lot of opportunity just to evolve the business model. And I think that, like, your point, Ryan, it's just like, we really need to be thinking just as a community generally about how to, you know, really make this validator model something that is competitive and is not, like, predatory, but is, like, properly competitive, so that the competition drives a more resilient network, not the competition drives bullshit like going from 0 to 20 and then, you know, and just, you know, trying to, like, nuke the community, and then you know, nuke the community and then throw a smoke bomb and head out the back door. You know, that's what we don't want. So that's why I really appreciate the suggestion there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I hope, you know, it was insightful and maybe it'll kind of spark maybe some new ideas for the community, because it's definitely been a pressing topic for the last, seems like definitely the last month, right? Because we've had those two proposals with 10 and then 5 pop up, and it seems like nobody can really have a set solution for, you know, the best way to go about this, because obviously minimum commission is not the way to go about it. Seems like the community is very divided in that aspect.
And in different video, we may have the opportunity to talk a little bit about some ideas that we've been, you know, ideating around just internally with TTLG on some different kind of staking structures that may provide, you know, the ability to unlock some interesting functionality in a kind of cross-chain way that we've been kind of thinking about. And so when the time's right, we'll talk a little bit about that. But any closing words from you guys before we wrap today?
No, just glad to be back with the crew, and glad we were able to talk about this validator economics, because it's definitely something that needs to be addressed, and hopefully we're going in the right direction with this.
Yep, absolutely.
Awesome, guys.
And just real quick note, remember, come see us, ttlg.money is the website. You can hop on there and you can come validate with us or stake with us if you'd like. We have a validator that's accessible through that channel. Also, if you've reached out via that channel to us in the next few weeks, we're going to have a note going out to anybody that's reached out through the ttlg.money channel. So appreciate your patience on that. We're on Twitter at TTLG_crew, CREW. We'll probably have a couple more Medium pieces coming out. Everybody, you know, keep your umbrella up for this bear market. And, I guess, we will talk to you guys soon. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, guys.
See you guys.
Talk to you later.